Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel radio serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Today. Amen. Thank you, Father. Father, we come now, Lord, as we prepare to speak a word on thy behalf. We pray, God, that you will open our hearts and our understanding, God, that we might receive what you have for us today. We thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We certainly do solicit your prayers as we stand on today. Allergies, sinus, all of that is happening. And we do need the Holy Spirit to guide us through this message on today. I want to make a correction on the funeral for Sister Moffitt's mother. I understand it will be this Wednesday coming up. Amen. So that service has not happened yet, but let's keep her and her family in prayer. In the book of Numbers, chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, as we continue our series on fighting to win, this morning we want to talk to you about fighting to win against a negative attitude. Fighting to win against a negative attitude. Numbers chapter 13, and we will read verses 25 through 33. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Winning, fighting to win against a negative attitude. Amen. Fighting to win against a negative attitude. We have so far talked about fighting to win against discouragement. We've talked about fighting to win against temptation. And here in the fourth sermon in this series, we're talking about fighting to win against a negative attitude. The first sermon was an introductory sermon just to lay the foundation for this series that we're dealing with. And we remind you, my brothers and sisters, that being a Christian is not a playground, it is a battlefield. We remind you that because some folk, if you listen to some of these TV preachers and folk on the radio, they will have you believing that just because you are a member of a church now, everything in your life is going to be just 100% wonderful, and that you're going to have folk falling in love with you and treating you with kindness. But the reality is that once you become a Christian, and as long as you are a Christian, you will have to fight sometimes. Amen. The good news, as we have shared with you in each of these messages, is that the fight, the battle, is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Amen. And so even though you will have to participate in the fighting, the good news is that you will not be fighting by yourself. And the one to whom we join allegiance, the Lord God Almighty. Come on, where are my witnesses who know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Where are my folk who know that no weapon formed against the believers of God shall prosper? Because we have God on our sides. Now, last Sundays we talked about fighting to win against temptation. I told you, I reminded you what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 6, somewhere around verse 18. Paul said, "Flee fornication." Flee, that word flee means run. Flee fornication. "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which lives in you, and you are not your own, but were bought with the price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God." But the key point I want you to see there as it relates to temptation, Paul said, run. But I want to also submit to you today, as we talk about negative attitudes, not only do you need to run from temptation, you better learn how to run from folk with negative attitudes. And if you are the one with the negative attitude, you better, amen, figure out how to realign that thing. You need to run from that kind of thinking, because are there any witnesses in the house who know that negative attitudes can mess you up? Attitude has to do with the way we think and the way we respond to our circumstances. Attitude has to do with how we think and how we respond to our responsibilities, our work, our problems, our successes, and even our failures. And then more in particular, a negative attitude is a poisonous, toxic blend of doubt, fear, pessimism, skepticism, discontent, and faithlessness. So no one who is a blood-bought believer, who is born again, ought to be walking around with a negative attitude. We are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. There's no area of our lives that isn't affected by our attitude. I know I'm right about it. I know I'm in Bible country because I hear Solomon in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 7. He says that, "For as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Simply put, that verse is telling us that we are what we think. Amen. You are the product of your thought life. And we need to understand that we are the products of our attitudes. One writer said, you are not what you think, but what you think you are. I need to back up and rewind and say that again. One writer said, amen, that you are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Let me help somebody. Amen. What he's suggesting to us is that you really are not a loser. But if you think you are a loser, you'll live like a loser. Do I have any witnesses here? The reality is you're not a failure. But if you think you are a failure, you will live your life, what? Like a failure. You don't really have the whole world against you, but if you think you do, you will live your life with a victim mentality. Amen, amen. You don't have more problems than everybody else. But if you think you do, you'll live your life like a poor, pitiful, pathetic individual. We're the product of our own thoughts. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen. That means, my brothers and sisters, that one's attitude is one's own personal choice. You've got to own your attitude, amen, all right? You've got to own your attitude just as I've got to own my attitude. Let's go to the text. It has now been 14 months since the children of Israel have left Egypt. Now, you would think that after 430 years of slavery, 430 years of captivity in Egypt, that the Israelites would be excited, that they would be optimistic about the new life that was waiting on them in the promised land. But those of you who read your Bible, who know your Bible ABCs, you know that that was not the case. Do I have a witness today? In the 14 months since the Exodus, a serious problem has been brewing. There's widespread negativity. There's widespread pessimism. There's widespread skepticism throughout the whole camp of the Israelites. The Israelites are griping and complaining about everything. Moses is now leading somewhere between 1.5 million to 2 million people who have seriously negative attitudes. And if you've ever led anything, I don't care if it's a church or a Boy Scout troop or a family, you know how difficult and dangerous negative attitudes can be. Maybe you're a manager on your job, or you're a supervisor, or you lead a company or battalion or a squad or a platoon. You know how dangerous, how toxic, how difficult negative attitudes can make things in that environment. Now remember, when they were under the harsh taskmasters back in Egypt, they had been begging God. They had been pleading with God, "God, get us out of here." They had been asking God to send them a deliverer.
The Bible says that God heard their cries, and God raised up a man by the name of Moses, and he sent Moses to lead them out of Egypt and back to the land that God had promised to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now they are griping and complaining about the man that God sent to deliver them out of Egypt. Y'all, if that don't sound like some of us today, do I have a witness today? Let me help you. Let me share with you the record. Amen. At Mirah, in the wilderness of Shur, the people complained about the bitter water. And the Bible says that because they complained about the bitter water, God turned the water sweet to quench their thirst. Later at Rephidim, the Israelites complained once again about not having water to drink. God instructed Moses to go ahead of the people, go up to Mount Horeb and strike a rock. And when he did, a steady stream of water came flowing out of the rock, which would provide the Israelites with more than enough water to drink. Did that change their negative attitudes? No, it didn't. They just found something else to gripe and complain about. Amen. They griped and complained about not having anything to eat. So you Bible readers will remember that God provided for them manna, amen, the bread of heaven. All they had to do was go out and pick it off the ground every morning. Did that change their negative attitudes? No, it didn't. They just found something new to gripe about and complain about. They griped and complained about not having any meat. They said, God, thank you for the bread, but we need some meat with this bread. If that don't sound like some of us up in here, amen, I don't know what does. They said, thank you for the bread, but we need some meat to go with the bread. And by this time, not only is Moses getting agitated, but God is getting agitated. And I love the way God talks to them in the book of Numbers. Amen. Chapter 11, verses 18 through 20, if you still have your Bibles open. It's kind of funny. I love the way God answers this whole complaint about we need meat to go with the bread. God says, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that you've got to, amen, you've got to fight against negative attitudes. The Bible says that because they kept complaining that they wanted meat with the bread, amen, that on that day God sent a strong wind across the Mediterranean Sea that blew quail to within about a day's journey of their camp. And Numbers 11 and 31 tells us that God provided them with so many quail that they were stacked up about 3 feet deep. But did that change their negative attitudes? No, it didn't. They just found something else to gripe and complain about. It got so bad that even Moses' own brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, joined in with the negative complainers. They started complaining, and God got so mad at them that the Bible says he struck Moses' sister Miriam with leprosy. Let me just stop right here and point out a couple of important truths that we can grasp this morning as it relates to fighting to win against a negative attitude. Here's the first truth you can take home with you. You can never satisfy someone with a negative attitude. I said you can never satisfy someone with a negative attitude. And some of y'all are sitting there looking straight ahead and not saying anything because that person that you know with the negative attitude is sitting next to you. Amen. Some of you got to go home to a husband or a wife, amen, that won't come to church. And if the truth would be told, the reason they don't want to come to church is because they got a negative attitude. negative attitude about the preacher, negative attitude about the deacons, negative attitude about the money, negative attitude. Folk can find all kind of negative reasons not to do what God is calling them to do. Do I have any way? And if you're not saying amen, you might be the one with the negative attitude. But I have come to discover that you can never satisfy someone with a negative attitude. No matter how much God blessed the Israelites, they still were not satisfied. They always found something else to gripe about, something else to complain about. And do you know what, my brothers and sisters? What was true of the ancient Israelites is still true today. I want you for just a moment to think about people that you personally know. You personally know some folk with negative attitudes. No matter what you do to try to please them or appease them, no matter how much money you give them, no matter how many new clothes, you done bought them Jordans, you done bought them the latest this and the latest that, and they still walk around with a negative attitude. You can never satisfy someone with a negative attitude. Think about all of the time and the energy that we waste trying to satisfy folk with lousy attitude. Anybody know it's an exercise in futility? God himself could not satisfy the negative attitude of the Israelites. And that brings us to the second truth. The second truth, because not only can you never satisfy someone with a negative attitude, here's the second truth. Negative attitudes are highly contagious. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Did it ever occur to you that all of that negativity in the Israelite camp started with one person? Now, we don't know, and the Bible doesn't tell us who that one person was. Amen. But if you'll allow me to use my sanctified imagination, it probably started something like this. What you think about Moses? Y'all know how we do. Amen. Amen. And then the person listening said, well, what do you mean? Do you think he's the right one to be leading us? Amen. He's had us going around in circles. Amen. Somebody said that the promised land is just a short distance away, but we've been going around in circles in this wilderness for months now, like he don't know where he's going. His GPS must be broken. Amen. Amen. And then that other person says, well, you know, I really hadn't even thought about it, but maybe you're right. Come on, come on, come on. Negativity, all it needs is somebody to join up, to hook up with it. Y'all have dealt with it on your job. Some of you have dealt with it in your families. Negative attitudes are highly contagious. And before you know it, most of the camp of Israel was talking about nonsense, talking about we were doing better in Egypt. Maybe Moses, maybe you should have left us in Egypt. At least there we had food to eat. At least there we had it. Let me tell y'all, when negative folk come to you with mess, you better learn how to run. You better learn how to nip that stuff in the bud. Because the same folk who will bring negativity to you about other people will bring negativity to other people about you. Somebody said, any dog that will bring a bone will care. I know I got some witnesses up in here. You better learn how to run from negative attitudes. We must never underestimate the seriousness of a negative attitude. Y'all, a negative attitude is like a toxic poison that spreads through the bloodstream. I've known folk who have had abscesses in their mouth. They've had teeth that needed to be pulled. I'm talking about so bad that the whole side of their face swole up. But they're so afraid of going to the dentist that they talk about, oh, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. But what they don't understand is that infection and that tooth can get in your blood and cause something called sepsis, I believe, and you'll really be in trouble. And I've come by to tell you today that a negative attitude spreads from one person to another, and before you realize it, that negative attitude has spread throughout the workplace, throughout the whole school, throughout the whole ball team, throughout the whole church, All it takes is one person with a chip on their shoulder to dampen the spirits of an entire group of people. I look at negative folk like the devil incarnate. When folk come to me with negativity, amen, I give them that look like you ain't doing nothing but letting the devil use you. Amen. We are supposed to be a people who walk by faith and not by sight. I don't care how it looks, God is still able. Do I have any witnesses here? Is there anybody here who understands that no matter what it looks like, no matter what the situation seems to be factoring out to be, God can step in even at the bottom of the barrel? Oh, where my bottom of the barrel folk? Some folk who it took God letting you get hit rock bottom, amen, for you to realize that he's still able. Come on, somebody ought to bear witness. I went all the way down, but it did not hinder God from lifting me all the way up. If you know he's able, give him praise. If you walk by faith, give him praise. If you believe that God can do it, give him praise. Negativity. Now, when y'all read this, and I hope you read this whole passage when you get home, when you read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 13, it really sounds like God is telling Moses to send these spies out into the land. That's what it seems like when you read Numbers 1 and 2. But you gotta really go to Deuteronomy to see the truth of the matter. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, and I'll read it into your hearing. It says, "And I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come." God had already told them, "I have given you the land." God had already told them, "It's yours. All you need to do is walk on in there and possess it." That job is all. Let me tell you, when God blesses you, God is trying to bless somebody with a promotion or with a job. But the problem you have, you've been listening to the wrong folk. You've been letting negative folk tell you, well, you know, you really don't have the education for that. You really, amen, don't have this for that. But I have come by to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to run from the negativity. If the folk you're talking to are not reinforcing your faith, if they're not enhancing your faith, if they're not giving you the courage to go the extra mile, to not give up, don't throw in the towel, then you need to run from those kind of people. God didn't tell them to send no spies and all of that. That's the people talking. God said, "I've already given it to you. Just go on in there and possess it." And so Moses, and I don't want to take the time to deal with the Hebrew language here, but if you study this out, what you discover is, because it sounds like Moses was saying, send in these spies. But the Hebrew word that Moses uses is not spy, but it's discover. And so Moses was saying, go in and just kind of check everything out, see the lay of the land, see where everything is and where it ought to be. But these negative folks said, we're going to send in some spies. Now, the difference between a spy and someone who is a discoverer is that a spy is going in with evil intent. A spy is going in, amen, under false deceit. A spy is going in to try to figure out how we can con and how we can beat. But a discoverer that Moses was telling them to do was someone who would go in and just figure out the lay of the land. And you Bible readers remember that 10 folk came back with negative reports. 10 folk came back with negative reports, but 2, amen, came back with positive reports. Numbers 13, 31 through 33, it says, "But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out." Here it is, y'all. The 10 guys with negative attitudes said, we can't. The 2 guys with positive attitudes said, we can. The 10 guys with negative attitudes focused on